Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bonte Hill, NBC Sports California, joining us. Man, there's a lot to... First of all, Bonte, appreciate you carving out some time for us. You are not only busy tonight with the Kings Warriors, a game that used to mean so much, and now is like, oh, yeah, they play tonight. You got a big weekend ahead, of course, with the Eagles and the 49ers. Let's start there, because that game has meaning, unlike the one that's happening at Chase Center. That game has some meaning. You famously went to the Philadelphia playoff game many, many years ago. A lot of people are worried about this defense of the Eagles, this defense of the 49ers, and what this winds up looking like, man. How do you feel the 2 days before the game?
I feel like, D-Lo, that – and shout out to the Chatty House, by the way. I feel like this is the Eagles' game to lose. Mm. Like, this Niners defense, they're – where they at? 20 sacks on the season. They get no pass rush. Mm-hmm. They can't stop the run. The last 3 weeks, they haven't been able to get off the field on third down. They're third worst in the league. On the season, they're like fifth worst when it comes to getting off the field on third down. So this is tailor-made for the Eagles to get right, at least for a round. You got Saquon. Even their offensive line, they're not as great as they were last year. They're good enough to get Saquon going, and Tank Bigsby is the backup. And you got some stars at wide receiver, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and you got Dallas Goedert, and the Niners are signing dudes off the street to play linebacker this week. Mm. Meanwhile, they have probably the worst cover safeties in the league, and Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa. So it's on the Eagles to determine how close they want this game to be. I think the Niners offense will be able to move the ball some. But again, when you don't have a wide receiver who can't take the top off the defense, all of a sudden, like Seattle, they're going to creep within 10 to 15 yards of that line of scrimmage. But there's plays to be had. The Niners have a shot. I'm not saying it's not impossible to beat the Eagles, but it's really on Philadelphia. If Philadelphia comes out and starts screwing around, crowd gets restless, they start getting disgruntled, and all of a sudden the Niners are like, you know what? We're in this. Let's go steal this game, because we've been in these type of football games all season long. But I just think the Eagles, they kind of just took a step back last week, caught their breath, because when you're the hunted, whether it's the NBA champs or the Major League, like, it's a different energy when you're the hunted. Mm-hmm. You're everybody's Super Bowl. And for the most part, D'Lo and KC, they beat Kansas City at Arrowhead, you know, early in the season when we still thought the Chiefs were the Chiefs, right? They beat the Lions on Sunday Night Football and held them without a touchdown. They beat the Packers at Lambeau Field when the Packers still had Micah Parsons. They've won all those big games this year, and it hasn't looked pretty. So I feel like it's the Eagles' game to lose, man. I think it's a long shot that the Niners go out of there, go into Philadelphia and become victorious.
Let me first off say, I think the Niners would have to, I still believe, they would have to play the game of the year to win this game in Philadelphia. Yep. But I don't feel the same way today that I did on Sunday night. Sunday night, I was like, this is just a bad matchup. This is not good for the 49ers. But as the week has gone along, naturally, you know, you read more, you look more into it. And I see some pathways, Monte. I see enough pathways where it's not even the 49er fan thing. I'm legitimately saying they're going to win 20-17. And here's a couple reasons why. If we're going to talk about coaching and how coaching matters, let's do the coaching comparison. I look at Shanahan and Vic Fangio, who's my boy, who's our boy. You know, we love Vic from San Francisco. I look at that as a bit of a wash. Vic's going to have his plays. I think Kyle's going to have his plays. But if you go up against that Eagles offense going up against Bob Saleh, even though they're depleted on the defensive end, when you talk about a game plan and a scheme, I think Saleh for one game can out-scheme this guy enough to give the 49ers opportunities to win. The last thing I'll say real quick before you get a chance to respond here is I think the bend but don't break, it's frustrating because yards just get accumulated throughout a whole game. But it's the best way that this team can give themselves an opportunity to win. And as much as they got dominated yards-wise and controlling the game last week in Seattle, It was 13. And even if they make a couple of their field goals that they missed, it's still like a two-score. Like, you still got an opportunity if the offense wakes up. And I think that's going to be the game plan again this week, and it's going to give the Niners a chance. So I laid out a lot there. Are you buying any of that as to why the Niners
No, I do buy it. I'm like you. Sunday now, I'm like, oh, this is the worst possible matchup. This is bad. I got a tweet out there, and if the Niners win, Freeze and Cold Takes is going to be all over it. I was like, I'd be shocked if they come out. But then as the week has gone along, I'm saying, all right, there's a pathway. The Eagles are 24th or what is it, 22nd or 24th when it comes to run defense. They allow 124 yards a game on the ground. First and foremost, the Niners are going to have to run that football. They're going to have to run that football and eat clock. I'm talking about 12-play, 70-yard, take 7 minutes off the clock. What we saw from Miami last night against Ole Miss, keep Philadelphia off their offense off the football field. Because I always thought once they got out of the bye week, their best defense was going to be their offense. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to score more. So there are yards to be had. But they have a secondary that I don't think they're going to respect the Niners wide receivers. Juwan Jennings is a solid wide receiver. At some point in this football game, you're going to have to make a play on the outside. You're going to be one of your wide receivers. And Fangio knows that. He knows where George Kittle is. You know Christian McCaffrey is the hub of this offense. At some point, they need a big-time wide receiver or a big-time play from one of their wide receivers, and I don't necessarily see that happening with the secondary that Philadelphia has. But there is a pathway. Run the ball, control the clock, and make Philadelphia just kind of self-destruct there by keeping them out of the end zone. So they got to make it a bar fight, a fist fight, but their offense is going to have to hum at a high level, and Philadelphia knows that. And with Jalen Carter back, you know, Trent Williams being at less than 100% with a hamstring injury is going to be a tough night for the Niners, but there's a pathway. I feel a lot better about the game. I still don't think the Niners are going to win. I'm not going to go there. If I had to bet a dollar D-Lo at KC, I'm betting on Philadelphia.
Bonte Hill, NBC Sports California. I do think the 49ers are going to win, and here's one of the reasons why. We're talking defense. And mind you, I'm not decked out in 49ers red and gold. This is just there's something about Philadelphia that I've just struggled with all year. And we talk about you just mentioned keeping them out of the end zone. I don't know how hard the 49ers are going to have to work to do that. When you look at some of the numbers this year, you got 33, 17, 10, 15, 19, and 13. Those are how many points they've scored against teams that made the playoffs. And that 33 was the Rams game in week 3 where they scored on the block kick to end regulation. Their offense is not threatening. Like the 49ers defense might not be very good. You talk about bend don't break. Yeah, they might give you 70 to get down the field. But between what the 49ers defense can do and the Eagles struggles on offense, you can hold them to 3. If you could just get something back on the other end, that's where those long sustained drives that Bonte was just talking about come into play. Yeah, like the scores that get thrown around, the one I like the most is something in the vicinity of 20-17. Like I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this.
Yeah, no, it's shocking to see how much. Well, not really, right? You move on from Kellen Moore. He goes, takes the Saints jobs. You have this guy, Kevin Petullo, who just seems like he's in over his head. We dealt with it last week with Nick Sorensen. Our last season with Nick Sorensen as a defensive coordinator. Remember way back when North Turner was the offensive coordinator with Alex Smith and Frank Gore, and they felt like they were ascending as an organization. North Turner gets the San Diego Chargers late, and they're stuck with this offensive coordinator named Jim Hostler. And I mean, they started running 3rd-and-5 fullback dives, dude. I'm like, what's going on out here? So I see a little of that with Kevin Petullo, and Nick Sirianni's not necessarily your offensive play caller. He's more of a CEO type. Let me make sure everything's good around here. I'm going to manage a game. I'll throw my challenge when I need to. I'll call a timeout when I need to. But other than that, Kevin Petullo seems like he's in over his head. So can you put pressure on them or force them into uncomfortable situations? The biggest thing with Philadelphia, and I've felt like this over the last 3 years with them, keep them out of 3rd-and-5 in manageable situations, meaning you eliminate that tush push. Mm-hmm. They get in the 3rd-and-4, well, you know they're going to run the football, and they're going to get the 4th-and-1, and that tush push is basically undefeated. Mm-hmm. So you want to stay out of that situation. So keep them in 3rd-and-long and make Jalen have to really think about throwing that football out there. But that's easier said than done, right? A.J. Brown's a load. Renardo Green's going to try to guard him. Renardo Green struggled this year. Devontae Smith is a pro. He's a pro's pro. He's a dynamic playmaker. Mm-hmm. And Dallas Goedert again. So there is a pathway. There's no doubt the Eagles offense has struggled, but I just feel like this is the game they're going to get right with the week off. I think this playoff energy for them is going to be refreshing because, again, when you're the defending champs, I've seen this with the Warriors for so long, but they just get bored in the regular season at times. They're like, damn, the Washington Wizards are selling out against us, man. They got 15 wins, and we got to play our asses off in this game to get a dub in the nation's capital. Like, every OKC is going through that right now where when you walk into that gym, oh, it's going to be a sellout. The kids are coming. Parents are coming. They want to see the champs. The champs are in town. So it's a different energy for them to just get back to this point saying, all right, we got a home game. We're playing to beat up defense. I expect the best from Philadelphia. But all your points, D'Lo and KC, are valid because I could see that playing out in this football game as the week progresses.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Got my man Bonte Hill, NBC Sports Bay Area, man. Just all-around Bay Area GOAT. You know, that's just what he is, all-around Bay Area GOAT. We talking a little bit about this Niners-Eagles game. I want to go in the right now and then a little bit macro. Ricky Pearsall doesn't practice again today. I think my boy Slick Rick, unbelievably talented. I love seeing him out there on the field. The problem is I don't always see him out there on the field. Big picture, the Niners are going to have to go draft a wide receiver in probably the first round. Like you can't rely on this guy to be your one or maybe even your two. He has the talent to, but I don't know if his body can hold up to the NFL.
I mean, before he got shot last season.
Wild start to that sentence.
I mean, I'm just saying, before he got shot, thank God he's alive. Yeah. You know, it was, the dude bounced back. But before he got shot, right? It sounds crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds crazy, man.
Tupac like, Pierce all over here.
You know what's so funny? I was actually in Philadelphia for Jason Dumas's wedding when my cousin who's on the force is like texting me, yo, I think Pearsall got shot. It's like, what?
Crazy.
And it's just wild, right?
Yeah.
Wild. But he was hurt in training camp before that. Mm-hmm. He's dealing with it, hammies and shoulders. And so this is where the IU loss hurts. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that last week as I was watching the game against Seattle. It's like, damn, it would have been good to have Brandon IU. Mm-hmm. Man, because I think Niner fans, for the most part, when he was going through the contract negotiations, and it was ugly and a lot of fans turned on him, I think they underrated how valuable IU was to this offense and his rapport with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk had a great connection together. I mean, they were balling together. And then you think about the run game in which you can run block and take the top off the defense. Yeah, they're going to have to be in a market for another wide receiver, whether it's the draft or whether it's free agency or whether it's a trade. And I don't know if they want to take on big-time money for a wide receiver, but there could be some dudes out there this offseason. And that stinks, Casey, that we can't count on Ricky Pearsall. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When they drafted him, I didn't know who he was. Like, who? I watched college football. I was like, what? Who? But you see why maybe teams weren't that high on him, even though he was a first-round pick, because he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised at the 49ers season, given the context of everything? Bosa, Fred Warner, Ricky Pearsall in and out. Now you got, you know, Bethune, D-Winners, all of that stuff. Are you surprised that we're here and we're talking about them potentially advancing to the divisional round?
Absolutely, D'Lo. Look, I thought they'd win 10 games. I thought they'd be 10-7 to surprise some people, given the schedule, right? On paper, the schedule looked, quote-unquote, easy. But those teams on the schedule actually played better than what we thought. Like, Jacksonville, I thought, would be better. I didn't think they'd be this much better, but they were better. The Texans, we knew, had talent or promise to be better. That's a great defense, probably the best in the NFL. So considering everything that you just laid out, D'Lo, not having Purdy for, what, 8 games, 7 games? Not having George Kittle, who tore his hamstring in the first game of the season, in the first half, the Bosas, the Warners, Mykal Williams, you name it. Absolutely. And here's the other surprising part. The one guy who did stay healthy was Christian McCaffrey, who everybody right. thought was washed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fact that they were playing for a number one seed last week, this game is house money to me, man. I'm actually proud of this unit. The way they've played, the heart they've shown, and Shanahan has shown that he can coach. Like, he's now, there's no – this is the first time, D'Lo, KC, that I've gone through a season where I haven't heard anything about Kyle Shanahan being on a hot seat, which is crazy. It's taken 9 years. This is the first season I've gone through, walked the streets and everything, and ain't nobody said, oh, man, Kyle Shanahan's on a hot seat. This dude was going to NFC Championship Super Bowls. Yo, man, he don't do this. He getting fired. What?
That's because you're not on the radio every day anymore talking to TC. Get TC your cell phone number. He'll call, put Kyle on the hot seat every day.
Hey, TC called a couple Tuesdays ago when I jumped in on the roast, man. It looked Monte and TC, man. I met TC.
Yes, I got it.
We was picking up Trey Lance. He had the Trey Lance Authentico. Trey Lance jersey on.
He just called us and said that's what he's wearing when he watched the game on Sunday, the Trey Lance.
Trust me, man. We got to let that one go. I had to let it go. Trust me. That video's still circulating out there, man. I thought I'd see Black Jesus, dude. I was like, we got one. The cool part is, D-Lo Casey, we saw two kids walking by us with their mom. And they're like, yeah, they're begging me to go get a jersey. And Shasky tells them, you better go get that number 5 Trey Lance.
Oh.
5 minutes later, we're starting up the car. They're walking back to the team store. The mom looks at us and goes, well, guess we're going to get that Trey Lance. I thought she looking for us like, yo, man, I just spent $300 on this jersey.
Oh, man, they got the authentic. They got the swing man joint, too.
Yeah, they got the swing man, dog. So, TC, we know TC's out there. Bob and San Bruno's out there. Yeah. That's, you know. That's my guy, though. I love TC. Yeah, that's my bro, absolutely, as he always says.
Absolutely.
Painted buying a Trey Lance jersey, boy.
The inside joke is that's what D-Lo got me for Christmas that year. He got me a Trey Lance jersey.
Oh, man. Never bought anyone another Christmas present after that.
I wore it not too long ago.
Yeah, that was not. It was real funny.
I still have it.
Hey, man, I didn't send a tweet. I didn't say anything about him playing last Sunday. I was like, dude, he's playing with nobody with the Chargers, man, against that defense. Well, and you know the Jackals are out there. See? Trey Lance, look at him. It's like, dude, you're going against Denver, man. Yeah, like, what you going to do?
Fourth and goal with the 14 seconds. Don't run out of bounds. Why'd you run out of bounds? Throw the ball somewhere. What are we doing? One more Niner question I want to ask you in macro. Question here as well. How do you feel about Brock Purdy just as a quarterback? Is it like they got the franchise guy? Did you always feel that way, or did he show you some things lately?
Yeah, I thought he proved something to me last year in the face of adversity. Like, you got to think, Ayuk, McCaffrey, and Debo scored 40 combined touchdowns in 2023. They didn't play one game together last season. McCaffrey played a game and a half, right? Ayuk gets hurt week 7, week 8. Debo's, his mind is somewhere else. I mean, and Purdy, think about the Mac Jones game this year at SoFi Stadium against the Rams. Brock Purdy had that same game against the Rams last season. The difference was Jake Moody missed a kick. Eddie Pinheiro made a kick. Ronnie Bell dropped the pass. Kendrick Bourne caught passes. That was the difference. Brock Purdy balled out in that game without George Kittle and Debo Samuel. And everybody was saying, oh, we want to see him without the stars. We want to see him without the Avengers. Later on in Tampa, he threw for 353, right? But we all remember that game because Jake Moody missed 3 kicks and Debo Samuel was ready to go to Charles Sprewell on him. So, you know, so the fact that he's been this resilient, and you saw the Bears game, the plays that he was making. And here's the thing about the deal. It's really a 2-year deal because they can get out of it, I believe, after 2027. So you're not totally, you know how the NFL contracts work. You got to dig through them and like, oh, there's a loophole.
Yeah.
So right now they got the guy, and I feel good about him moving into 2026.
Yeah.
Bonte, remember when these Kings Warriors games used to mean something? Remember when they were fun?
Tragic.
Man. Man, you know, so it's Mully and I tonight, and we were having our pre-show call. And just over a year ago, I think it was January 5th, actually, and we're going to run this on our pregame show. Teams came down to Chase Center and beat the Warriors by 30.
Yeah.
And Doug Christie had words for Draymond and Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the players on both sides. Wiggins was a Warrior. You know, TJD was starting. Kuminga was playing well, but he had just injured his ankle. On the other side, there's Fox. There's Musk coming to double-double. They were like, damn. Things have changed so fast.
That's about crazy.
3 years ago, and so we're going to run some stuff on the Kings. Like, what has happened? And I genuinely, this year, I watch a lot of basketball, man. You know me, I love the NBA, so I watch the Kings a lot. Trade for one post-game show goes, folks, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to play this one after another 30-point loss. And I'm like, dang, what? I tapped in when Doug Christie was going on his little press tour rants this past season where he's like, we're going to play hard as long as you play for me. And And I'm just like, man, what happened? Mm. And it does stink. Because this was a fun-ass rivalry, man. Mm. That year when you guys were lighting the beam and y'all were going at it with me and me and Shaq were about to fight each other on the first two games. Like, so we about to fight each other. And y'all tweet like, yo, they're going at it. They're fighting each other. They're breaking down. I mean, it was so much fun, man. It was great. And I felt like us three and Shasky, Drace, we had a lot to do with that rivalry. We really helped elevate that rivalry. And it was fun from Northern California to I-80 Classic and to see where the Kings are at right now and see where the Warriors are at. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on down here. Kaminga's not playing. I mean, it's just a mess on both sides, but a different type of mess. Like, it's the end of the dynasty down here and up there in Sacramento just trying to figure out what direction to go in and how to start this direction. Where do we go? Do we start with trading this guy or that guy? It's just sad, man, because you guys do have some very loyal fans up there in the 916.
You know what I remember most about that game? One, I think that was when we FaceTimed everybody. We started everybody. I never talked to Matt Nahegan in my life, but FaceTimed him that day just to see if he'd pick up. And the reason was not just the 30-point game. It was that this is the 100% the part I remember most. Steph did the press conference like this.
He was done.
He had his hand on his head, like on his face, the whole press conference. Like, and we watched that like, this man knows it's over. We weren't even celebrating the Kings as much as the demise of the Warriors. We know it's over, and Steph knows it's over. Then you hoes go get Jimmy Butler, and you get that little boost of...
Dude, the score at halftime was 75-51. 74-51 to 75-51. Y'all was up 20-plus at the half of that game. And here's the other part. At the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, Kings fans took over Chase. Mm. Let's go, Kings. Mm-hmm. Light the beam. Yeah. And it was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I got 3 weeks off of radio for this crap. And I'm out. You ain't going to find me no more, baby. Dude, it was bad, man. It was bad. And to see where both teams are at right now, the Warriors in a play-in. There's nothing to brag about. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? They just had a night where they went 3-for-24 in the third quarter and went 0-for-9 for the three-point line and scored 13 points. Like, there's nothing to brag about down here. You know, we know we got our own issues. We got the Draymond Green scenario. You got Jonathan Kuminga, Jimmy Butler.
Let's talk about Kuminga a little bit because, you know, reports are coming out. Your co-host on the podcast, Monty Poole, was talking about, like, the Kings are really the only team that's interested in Kuminga, or at least the basketball player. Ant-Man, Anthony Slater said the same thing to us yesterday. What happens with the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga? It feels like they overplayed their hand a little bit, thinking they'd be able to trade him around this time for a big-name player. And with the relationship that soured between, or continued to sour, between Jonathan Kuminga and the coaching staff, it's doesn't seem like it's going to be an easy move at all.
Yeah, if you got another hour, we could sit here and talk, because this thing is, I mean, and I'm pretty tapped into Kuminga's people. Right? Mm-hmm. They trust me. They're tapped into every show, podcast, article. They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they're no dummies. It's the day and age we're in. The worst thing to happen for the Warriors and maybe for Kuminga is that he balled out against Minnesota the way he did. Mm-hmm. And the entire country saw, wait a minute, that dude's 22 years old and he's shooting 54%, 42 from three against the Minnesota Timberwolves, dropping 24 without playing the last 3 weeks. That's what's been sitting on the bench. Mm. And I never believed, like, if you look at every one of his seasons, he's had stretches where he's gotten better and he makes a couple mistakes and boom, he's DMPing or he's getting 5 minutes. It's just, I don't like the treatment of JK. I think it's a joke, especially on this team that's hovering around 500. He can't play on this team out of all the teams. So he never wanted to come back in the first place. And then when he finally agreed to basically like, yo, I'll come back. I'm all in. He is all in. He's a great kid. That's one of the worst things that's out there. The narrative is that, hell, he's a moper. He's a cancer. That dude is a great kid. What is wrong with a 22, 23-year-old basketball player who wants to influence winning and wants to be great? There is nothing wrong with that. We got a lot of dudes in this league that don't want that. Once they get their money, they're cool. We got our 8-bedroom house, 5-bath. We got our Lamborghinis and Porsches. We got every OnlyFans model out here. We good. Like, Kuminga wants to be great.
Yeah.
And to see him start off the season the way he did, and all of a sudden, like, it was crazy. So going into that Sacramento game earlier the season where he balled out, he got in foul trouble, and he had a couple of mishaps late in the game. But he played great. Him, Will, Richard, and Moody, they were awesome in that game against Sac. And a couple days before that, he got into it. It was just like him and Steve, I think, had a big argument about something that happened in Milwaukee and Indiana. He's like, look, man, I'm not the only one making mistakes. Our veterans are turning the ball over. And so for it to get to this situation to where the young man's not even stepping on the floor, and now it's not even worth playing him because you got the trade deadline coming up. We saw Anthony Davis last night get hurt. Dallas is screwed. Yeah. You go out there and throw Kuminga out there who hasn't played in a couple weeks. I mean, Kuminga's played once since December 6th. And that was a 9-minute stint against the Phoenix Suns when Steve Kerr said, hey, he's been practicing hard. I want to reward him. Well, the reward was 9 minutes against the Phoenix Suns, all right? The start of the second quarter, the start of the fourth quarter. It's like, what are we doing here? So the best thing for the Warriors and for JK is just to say, hey, you may just be able to get whatever out of him. Like, if they're expecting a big-time player, a guy who's going to drop 25 a game, you're tripping. You're tripping. They help sabotage his value. They help do that. So I just – it's a mess, and it's unfortunate because the kid has talent. Is he a great player? I don't know that yet. Does he have flaws? Yes, he messes around on the perimeter, and his handle's pretty loose. His handle's not that great. But the guy can dive to the basket. He could guard at the point of attack, and he's a freak athlete. Like, he's getting you 18 on a bad day if he gets the minutes. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to NBA players who retired, like Chris Mullin or Eddie Johnson or all these other dudes – you average 18 in the NBA, you ain't no scrub. You can do something in this league. So it's an unfortunate situation that's really just been hovering over this organization for the last 6 months.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm glad you said that, Monte, because that's kind of how we started the day when talking about Jonathan Kuminga. This is just a poker game with this man's career. That's what the Warriors are doing, and they're playing with other general managers, and now it's, we talk about trading. The NBA trades are often not exactly about trading players, but they're about trading contracts. And the Warriors have been working to trade some sort of contract to land a Giannis or a whoever, Anthony Davis, whoever they felt was what they needed to get Steph Curry to that fifth title. And they're doing it at the expense of this young man's career.
It's not right. It's not right. And look, Steve, and look, he doesn't fit the way Steve wants to play. That's totally fair. I would like to see Steve tweak some things sometimes and say, hey, let's get away from the motion and do something that caters to your talents. I think Shanahan, we're talking about Niners, he caters his offense to the strengths of his players. He knows what his players can't and cannot do. So he puts them in a position to succeed and limits them in terms of like, hey, I know he can't do this, so I'm not going to put him in that spot. Steve Kerr, I think, has done a bad job with that when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga and with a lot of the young guys. And it's just so funny now, people are like, man, we need a triple drive penetrator. We need a guy who could create shots for other players. Well, you had that with Jordan Poole. You had that. We know what happened there, and he gets traded alongside Ryan Rollins, who's playing good ball in Milwaukee. That's two guys, that you blew here. Then you bring in CP3, who was basically done and was won it. So it's a tricky spot, and I don't know what the Warriors are expected to get for Jonathan Kuminga, but it can't be like you think Trey Murphy is just going to come. Oh, here's Trey Murphy for JK, guy you're not playing. We're tripping. We're tripping. So, yeah, I don't know what happens with JK, but that's been a huge talking point down here, no doubt.
Monte, we'll let you get to work. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask real quick, Monte, is this Steve Kerr's last year?
I said on the podcast earlier with Monty, I said I would be shocked if he comes back next year. He seems tired. Like, it's a lot going on. I mean, He's apologizing for getting cursed out. Go figure. He's apologizing for getting cursed out, man. Like, what? What are we doing? Like, so everything that he, like, his, the last 3 weeks, if you go back and listen to every Steve Kerr press conference the last 3 weeks, it's like we're out here giving Buddy Hield credit, and God bless Buddy Hield. I like Buddy. He's a positive dude. I like my interactions with him. But he's out here on podiums giving him credit, saying, hey, man, he's lively on the bench. He's not playing, but he's communicating. He's getting up cheering for the guys. And what? It's the NBA, man. Like, what are we doing? So it's just been – it's been wild. It's been – you got the Draymond Green podcast. We know what comes with that. And then you got Steve Kerr apologizing for getting this out.
That was so crazy.
It's like, you know, it's just – man, we can't pinpoint what's going on. We're getting to the point, D'Lo and Casey – it's almost like we're talking about everything but the game with this organization. And that's what made the Warriors fun. Yeah. We're talking about the game. Yeah. Now we're talking about everything else but the game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just wild out here, man. So, yeah, Kings Warriors, 7 p.m. Lock in. Let's go.
And you know, I'll be tapped in. We get the pre and post out here, man. So I'll be tapped into my boy, man.
Yep. What are we doing? We wearing Versace tonight? Gucci, what are we wearing tonight?
I've done no Gucci.
Okay.
I've done no Versace. Right. I've been on a Pico hike lately. It's been cold. I'm bringing out the mob coach out here, man. Tie underneath or whatnot.
There you go.
You know, and it got me some dope little red bottles for Christmas. I ain't brought those out yet.
Oh, let's go.
She brought those out. You know, they'll be at the warehouse with the legs crossed. Yeah. Sure y'all
you got to.
I was about to say the socks. Yeah. I see Bonte in the socks. I'll be seeing the socks.
You got to coordinate with the cameraman. Hey. When you see it, make sure it's seen.
Make sure you get them action shots.
Yeah, we ain't doing no stand-up shots today. Yeah, I want everything on the couches.
Everything on the couches, dog. Hey, you see that camera for you? Ready? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Bonte, we appreciate you, man. We'll be tapped in tonight.
Go Niners, man. Come on, man. Let's go get this in Philly, baby.
But, hey, you know I hate Philadelphia. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand anything in Philadelphia. Fun city, good food. Cannot stand those people out there in Philly. So a win will go a long way for your boy, man.
There we go. Thanks, Bonte.
All right, boys.